Our gospel lesson today is from John 1. Hear this word of God for you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify to it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, and we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever wanted Christmas to continue? I'm usually ready for it to be over because of how hard it is this time of year. I love its meaning. I love remembering the birth of Christ, but I get weary from all the hubbub, like the spending and the eating and the gift giving and the family gatherings with all the crazy relatives and without some of the people you miss the most. But this year I was thinking, if I could have Christmas continue, I would want it to be about relaxing, thinking about Jesus' birth, resting in God's presence, sharing Christ's love. That I could keep doing. So what if we could continue Christmas? Christmas is actually 12 days long. It ends with Epiphany when the wise men come on January 6th with this next Sunday. And it's also the beginning of our church year, not the end of a calendar. So what if you could continue Christmas in your heart and home? What would that mean for you? How would you keep that life-giving spirit of Christmas without all the stress of what it has become? I think John 1 holds a key for us because John reminds us of the beginning. And he reminds us that Jesus is actually God. John calls Jesus Logos, which in Greek means word. Why? Well, how did God create all of creation? By speaking it into existence. And what was there at the beginning? Darkness and light. John tells us that Jesus is the light of all people, shining into the darkness. Nothing can overcome it. So Jesus comes into this world as a light, and that's no accident. It's why we celebrate Christmas with so much light. Our decorations, our worship, the Advent wreath. And each Sunday, we welcome the light of Christ, but at Christmas, it takes on special significance because it is that light piercing the darkness of our lives. John talks in his gospel about Jesus as light and life over and over and over again. Some have even called this the gospel of light because this book is not just a history book, it's a theological book about who Jesus is and why he came as one of us. In the Gospel of John, we see that God took on skin. That's what John means when he says the Word became flesh and lived among us. We call this the incarnation, God in the flesh. And the Gospel of John reminds us that that's the only way we can see and understand God. It's amazing to think about this, how God came into the world, not as a tourist visiting, not as an angel coming down and going back up into heaven, not as a celestial ruler or king, but as this tiny little baby. That's how we see God. In that baby, in that person of Jesus Christ. All throughout the Bible, people want to see God, but even Moses is kept from seeing God's face. He only sees God as God is walking away. Elijah just hears a little whisper. Other prophets hear the voice of God, but no one sees God's face because God is so holy, so awesome. And what does God do? God enables us to see God's face by Jesus becoming human. There's a wonderful play called Green Pastures. It was on Broadway for many years, and the playwright has this beautiful scene where the Lord is up in heaven looking out over all the earth and trying to decide what to do about this whole sinful situation. The angel Gabriel comes in with a horn tucked under his arm. He senses the dilemma. He puts his lips up to the trumpet and says, "Lord, has the time come for me to blow this trumpet?" "No, no, no, don't blow the trumpet yet." God continues to look out and worry about it, and Gabriel asks, "Lord, what do you plan to do? Who will you send? How about another David or Moses? Or there's lots of great prophets up here. What do you think, Lord?" And without looking back at Gabriel, God says, "I'm not going to send anyone. I'm going there myself." That's what we believe, that God came in the person of Jesus, that the Word became flesh and blood and lived among us, that our God is not this distant old guy in the sky. Our God is a Savior. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We also celebrate the fact that we're not alone. We're never alone. God came into the world to be with us. In the Message Bible translation, Eugene Peterson says in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." That's what Jesus did. People have always looked for signs from God. Our sign from God is the person of Jesus, who didn't just come to visit, but who came to live and die and be raised from death to save us and give us new life. He came as the light of the world. People call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. So even in our darkest hour, even in our most challenging situations and most harrowing Christmases, God is with us in Jesus. And if there's something we might want to continue from Christmas, that could be it. That hope of God being with us. What about you? What do you love about the Christmas story that you want to continue? I read this beautiful poem this week by Howard Thurman, and it's called "The Work of Christmas." It says, "When the song of the angels is stilled and the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home and the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, and make music in the heart." What if we could continue Christmas that way? The question is, how? How will we find the lost and the broken and the hungry and the prisoners and rebuild nations and bring peace and make music? Each Sunday, we have the opportunity to make music in our hearts. The question is, are we taking advantage of that opportunity to truly worship God in music? And what about finding the lost? We may think of those as people just way out there somewhere, but what about the lost people that you encounter in your everyday life? Sometimes this happens to me when I'm standing in the checkout line at the grocery and there's not a long line behind me, and so I can strike up a conversation with the clerk. Ask her, how are you? How are you feeling? How was your Christmas? How could I pray for you? We all encounter people who need to know about God's love through us. What about the broken people? What about continuing that from Christmas? Who are the broken people in your community, in our church, in your family? Who are the people weighing heavy on your heart? And how is God asking you to reach out to them? What about the hungry? We all know that our church seeks to feed people through OCR and the Youth Cafe, but what about other types of hunger? Who are the hungry people around us who yearn for things in their heart and spirit? They're hungry, not just body, but in heart. And what about releasing prisoners? We may not be able to release people from a physical prison, but what about people who are imprisoned around us with things like depression or loneliness or addiction? Do we share judgment with them or Christ's grace and hope and freedom? When I hear rebuilding nations, I think of our friends in Malawi, Africa, and how as a church we partner with them and their communities to help them in areas like education and healthcare and small businesses. So the question is, how do we continue that and grow that ministry? My favorite line in this poem is to bring peace among the people. If you ask me, that's the most powerful thing we get to do if we choose to continue Christmas. We can bring the peace of Christ. We can speak it to each other, but we can also live it. Ours is this world of harsh division where hatred and prejudice have become the norms of our discourse and actions. So imagine a world where each and every one of us would speak and live Christ's peace. How can you do that? Today, this week, this year. These are just some of the ways that we continue the spirit of Christmas. The trees and the lights, they come down, but this hope continues because the Word made flesh is still dwelling among us. And the light of the world is still shining through us. I was reading Barbara Brown Taylor when she was writing about John 1, and she had some good questions. She asked, thinking about the words that describe Jesus, who was the Word, what is your word? What is a word that you bring to life that our world needs? Do you bring grace, patience, generosity, peace? What is your spiritual gift, and what is the word that you bring to life in our world? What a great question for each of us to think about, and to think about as a church community. We can ask ourselves, when a visitor leaves this church, what three words might come to their mind? What words do we bring to life in this church? What do we want them to remember about First Presbyterian Owosso? I think that if all of that is what it means to continue Christmas, I'd be up for it. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. This first Sunday of Christmas, Christmas is continued through us. The Savior born in Bethlehem is born into our hearts, and we are the ones who share his life and light. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed.